Captain's log, stardate 41249.3. We have orbited the two major planets of the Beta Rena system, taking aboard delegates from those two worlds. Since achieving spaceflight, their major life forms, the Antikens and the Cellae, have become deadly enemies, but both have also applied for admission into our Federation. We are to deliver these delegates to this sector's neutral conference planet, called Parliament, in the hope their dispute can be resolved.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Penske File. We are continuing our Let's Watch of Star Trek Next Generation. This episode is going to be about the seventh episode of Season 1, called Lonely Among Us. It was directed by Cliff Bohl, teleplay by DC Fontana, and a story credit goes to Michael Halperin. This originally aired November 2nd, 1987. So I'm going to give a short plot summary, and then I will get into it with my thoughts after a short break. The Enterprise is en route to the planet Parliament with delegates from two warring planets in the Beta Renner system, the reptilian Cellae and the canine Antikin, when the ship encounters a strange energy cloud. Unseen by the crew, Lieutenant Worf is hit by a strange energy discharge as the ship passes through the cloud, causing him to become violent. Dr. Beverly Crusher sedates Worf and brings him to sickbay, but is also infused with the energy as she examines his body. Crusher begins to act oddly to those around her and goes to the bridge, asking questions about the ship's navigational functions. When she questions Lieutenant Commander Data about one of the science stations, the energy sparks between her and the console, leaving her confused as to why she is on the bridge. The ship suddenly begins to malfunction, and Captain Picard sends Assistant Engineer Singh to investigate the cause. Singh is later found dead near a computer link, and Picard orders a murder investigation, considering the alien delegates to be the prime candidates. Data investigates the murder in the manner of fictional detective Sherlock Holmes and determines that the delegates were not responsible. Meanwhile, Counselor Deanna Troi evaluates both Worf and Crusher, finding neither recall their strange behavior. The ship suddenly drops again out of warp, and as Picard investigates the readouts at a bridge console, the strange energy transfers into him. The bridge crew becomes suspicious of Picard's actions after noting that all Enterprise systems are back to normal and that Picard has ordered them to return to the cloud. The senior officers attempt to plead with Picard to undergo a medical examination and to step down from command, but he refuses. When they return to the cloud, Picard announces that they had picked up an entity previously when they passed through the cloud, and now Picard and the entity are one. Under its influence, Picard plans to transport themselves back into the cloud, and he shoots energy at the bridge crew when they try to stop him. The crew are unable to prevent Picard from beaming off the ship. However, Troi senses the captain's essence nearby, and Picard manages to signal the crew through the ship's computers. Data is able to reverse the transport, reconstituting Picard without the entity. After determining that Picard is himself again, lacking the memory since he was taken over by the entity, the Enterprise continues on to Parliament. Okay, so let's go with our thoughts.
Data. Let's proceed without the pipe.
Yes, sir. If you wish, sir.
Okay, so our thoughts about Lonely Among Us. So, as I started the last episode, I'm going to be giving a grade at the for each of these episodes, and then sort of coming back in at the end of the season with a video or a podcast that explains the rankings, and just as a way to me to sort of remember what I think were the best episodes and what were the worst. And I think that this is one of the worst episodes so far. I know I've been saying that a lot for these early season episodes, but the early season episodes so far have mostly been bad in a sense of they're either boring or so the characters haven't really come together or something like that. And this is not particularly like that. This is a very badly written script. It's funny that when I loaded up this episode on Amazon Prime to watch it, the little description that you read when you see the episode, I remembered the pick up two, you know, delegations to go to a planet. And that's not even really the main story here. That's really the B story, is picking up the Cellae and the Antikens. And the A story is dealing with this energy cloud. And I had not seen this episode in a long time, and I remembered, or I sort of falsely remembered, thinking that this was a much later season when this episode aired. Because I remember the Cellae and the Antikens, and maybe not much later, but like second or third, I remember their story a lot more than I remember the energy cloud story. I really don't remember the energy cloud story at all. And I'm sure that's because it is a very stupid, bad story. And the Well, we'll start with the B story first of all, which is these bringing these Sile and Antikins, who are two groups that hate each other. They're very alien looking, probably the most alien sort of looking characters that we've seen on the show so far. One of them looks like a sort of lizard snake type thing, and the other one looks like a dog mixed with a snake is how I'd describe them. They like to eat each other. They are very antagonistic, and they're, I think, going to a peace encore or something. Some planet that they have to bring them. It really makes no sense. The B story in no way ties into the A story. The B story is silly and sort of distracts from the A story, and characters are sort of distracted by the A story. And even it happens later on in the episode, Riker, after Picard is sort of saved from death and Yar comes in yelling about the delegates, and Riker has to sort of remind her, isn't saving the captain our number one story that you should be thankful about? And she goes, oh yes, good to see you, captain. Anyway, these guys have eaten each other, and it is a the makeup is nice, I guess. Looking at one on Wikipedia, one of the actors who plays, Mark Alamo, I guess, who played Gul Dukat in Deep Space Nine, he was an Antikin who was unnamed on the screen. I assume he was the main Antikin. So Gul Dukat makes his first appearance, not as Gul Dukat, but as an Antikin who appears unnamed on the screen. So that was exciting. That's probably the most exciting thing about this episode. It's a badly written episode. This was the episode that I was the most bored going through. I actually liked the first act, too. But after that, I did not care for anything. The transmission thing is a little bit too similar to The Naked Now, how people are touching each other. That was a little bit more of a disease, and this is more of an entity that's invading people, but it was still the same. You know, someone lays their hand on something and gets shocked, and no one seems to notice, and then that person becomes obviously different and is not acting anything like what they should be. And this, another godlike entity that can sort of control things, and it's becoming a big problem in the early season here going on. Just a lot of these characters that are far too powerful take over things, control things. You can't interfere with them, and they're very, very godlike and omnipotent. And this continues the long line of that sort of nonsense. So the let's see, what else can we talk about here? This is the first episode that Data shows a love for Sherlock Holmes. Picard introduces Sherlock Holmes to him, and basically, it's a little bit silly. Data acts, has a pipe that he smokes, talks like Sherlock Holmes, and is wandering around doing his official duty, sort of acting like this. And no one really calls him on it until Picard does later on. Everyone seems amused, but it was this very strange situation where he's totally play-acting as something serious is going on. But anyway, we would get a few more Sherlock Holmes episodes with Data. Mostly involving the holodeck. They did not go into the holodeck in this episode. And that is okay with me. I'm not really crazy about the Sherlock Holmes episodes. I'm not crazy about holodeck episodes in general, so the Sherlock Holmes would fall into that in a little bit. But they do get better, I think, because they are much later, and these characters have actually been fleshed out a little bit. Other than that, we see Cole Meany makes his return as a first security guard. He still doesn't have the name Miles O'Brien, but this is his first appearance since the pilot, so it's good to see him back. He has a speaking role. He gets in between one of the Antikins and one of the Sile who are about to fight, so it's good to see him. Check in with him. But yeah, otherwise, just a silly episode. I felt like it started better, and the B story with these two races goes nowhere. The alien cloud is a very, very slow plot-moving development. The transmission of the alien between characters until eventually they just turn around and go back to the cloud, and then Picard wants to get beamed off, and then there's a resolution that's very easy. They just basically beam him back from where he came. It's all very easy. There's no conflict. It seems like it's a DC Fontana staple to have these, like, no conflict. Everything just sort of works out. Episodes. She was originally Roddenberry's secretary, who became a writer on the original series, I think. So I'm not sure about her skills, judging by Roddenberry's sort of extramarital affairs. I don't really know what happened there. I'm not saying anything in particular, I don't think, but she definitely comes from an older school of writing that is not as interesting and not as good. Everything just sort of happens. Everything feels very Deus Ex Machina, where it's just like, here's a problem, here's a solution. There's no examination of the problem as you move along. It's really just, it's very cut and dry. There's not, no depth to anything. There's no real themes. It's just very bland, very theatrical, and it feels very old. And this turned out to be one of the worst episodes of the season so far. I don't like it at all. I might give it a 1. 1 or 2. Let's see. I will go. I guess my ratings could all change too as you sort of go into it and you realize what a season's doing. Well, that's the problem with these ratings like this. I don't know if I should. I'll give it a number and I'll stick with it. I'll call this one a 2. Probably not the worst. I have to go back and revise. I don't think I've seen anything worse. This is definitely a 2. We will go with that. And I would not recommend watching this episode. It's not very good. So let's finish this off with a little bit of criticism as I can get from other people. Several reviewers rewatched the episode following the end of the series. Keith DeCandido reviewed Lonely Among Us for Tor.com. He gave it a score of 3 out of 10. Oh, he's a little bit better than me. I'm trying my best to avoid reading criticism until I actually get here and sit down. So you're seeing this mostly fresh for me, my response. He gave it a 3 out of 10 and was disinterested in the episode, finding the alien delegation subplot to be silly, and the majority of the episode was a weak beer mystery that's mostly an excuse for Gates McFadden and Patrick Stewart to act weird and for Brent Spiner to be a silly Sherlock. I mostly agree with that, I think. James Hunt thought that Spiner's Sherlock impression was completely brilliant in his review. He thought that the episode shared some similarities with the third season of the original series, saying, by the way, by which I mean it looks cheap and appears to have been written by a child in yellow crayon. So harsh words. So it's good to know that I'm actually getting something right here, but the writing's not very good. Will Wheaton reviewed it in 06. He criticized the writing of Fontana in the episode, saying around this time she appeared on a panel at a convention about how to solve the Wesley problem. But when rewatching the episode, he thought that, quote, maybe instead of sitting on this panel and trashing me, DC Fontana could have written intelligent dialogue for me and helped solve the Wesley problem herself. I don't know. Maybe she tried to do that and didn't get a lot of support from the rest of the producers and writing staff. But even I know of Dr. Channing's theory of not writing cliched dialogue for kids in science fiction and then blaming it on the actor who was forced to deliver it. End quote. He criticized the stiff dialogue in the episode and called the setup incredibly forced. He did say that he liked Sherlock Holmes. Well, whatever. And Zach Hanlon wrote for AV Club, he thought the alien delegation subplot was poorly executed and that combined with a slow pace and number of dialogue scenes that could be charitably described as character development, or more accurately as padding, this is an unmemorable episode that shows the series still unsure of its greatest strengths. I'd agree with all of that. Not a very good episode. I'm going to go one worse than Tor.com. I'm going to give this a 2 out of 10. Not a good episode. And we will be back next time with Justice. And we have a special guest star in Justice, so it won't just be me blathering to myself up here. So I hope you enjoy, maybe not this episode, but I hope you enjoyed the podcast. And I hope you come back next time for Justice, where we'll have a special guest. If you did enjoy this podcast, I just kindly ask that if you enjoyed the content, please leave a like, leave a comment, what you thought, what could be improved, all that jazz. I appreciate it very much. Thank you for listening, and I'll see you next time with Justice.